Hey, what's up, everyone? You know, Liz and I just like giggle and like laugh right before we record.
And then we come to record and we're like,
hey, what's up?
Anxiety.
Yeah, and then we're like, so what did you talk about in therapy this week?
Did you hear that?
No.
What was it? My nose made a honking sound.
Hey, what's up, everyone? I'm Sarah.
I'm Liz.
And this is the It's Fine, I'm Fine podcast. Seriously. We're crazy. Why are we crazy?
We're crazy. Oh my God. That crazy video of Eric on TikTok where he's
oh my gosh.
I'm on the For You page. Isn't that crazy?
He's and like I'm eight years old. Yeah. He's so funny. I wish I had a TikTok when I was eight. But at the same time.
No, you don't.
No, but like I was already doing sleepover news with Caroline when I was eight. Yeah. So like I might as well have had a TikTok and just become famous off of it. I wouldn't have become famous.
Yeah.
Is that what you're going to say with
no,
your little
smirk? No, I was
going to
say something else. I'll tell you when we're not podcasting.
Okay. But don't forget it.
I won't. Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Welcome back to week two of, or episode two of season three. We're so grateful for the feedback that we got. Mm-hmm. It seems like people like us.
Well, most people.
I'm keeping that. No, but in all seriousness, we had some...
some people like us.
We had some tough conversations, and we appreciate all the people who... are here listening to us.
Yeah, no, for real, thank you so much for everyone who reached out, everyone who let us know that they were happy that we were back. I'm not trying to make us sound like we're these superstars that got millions of comments and DMs, just a couple hundred.
Yeah,
I'm just kidding, not that either, but seriously, thank you. Like, it meant a lot, and we were obviously really scared, but it's nice to know that like other people want to continue these conversations with us.
Definitely. We know there is a lot in the world that's happening that is making our mental health challenges that we had before even more challenging. Mm-hmm. And maybe some people are experiencing new types of mental health challenges that they might not have ever experienced before. We talk a little bit about that today with our guest. But before we get into that, speaking of mental health challenges, we are really, really thrilled to be able to talk a little bit again about BetterHelp. I think pretty much everyone is seeing therapists online, whether they were seeing a therapist in person before or whether they just started. But doing online therapy is like the way of the world right now. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I think is so great about BetterHelp is that they understand how to use online to their advantage. I think one of the challenges of therapy is finding a therapist that you connect with. And part of BetterHelp's entire system is connecting you with people that you feel most comfortable with. If you're someone who's done traditional therapy, you know that it can be a hassle to try and find one person, let alone someone you connect with. And mm-hmm. that's what BetterHelp does really well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's really awesome that they'll like assess your actual needs and then match you with someone that's right for you. It's so hard to actually like find a therapist that you feel works for you, and you know there needs to be like some chemistry there.
Definitely.
So really important to find a therapist that's going to understand you and be able to help you, and that's what BetterHelp does. So obviously we're really happy to be partnering with them. If you are interested in using BetterHelp, go to betterhelp.com/itsfine. That's betterhelp.com/itsfine for 10% off your first month. And hopefully it helps in the same way that therapy has helped Liz and I.
Definitely. So before we talk about our guest, should we talk a little bit about our peak and pit of the past 2 weeks, since we are doing those bi-weekly releases? So
yes.
Talk to me, girl.
Boy and pit. Boy. Pit was... So my peak and pit are kind of the same topic. So on Sunday, I had a day to myself. I'm just going to mix and match my peak and pit. Okay?
Do it.
It's going to end
happy
though.
There's no rules here.
I know. Well, maybe, but yeah, sure. Okay. I'm going to mix and match my peak and pit, but I'm going to end on a happy note. Don't
wait. Sorry. I feel like we're both talking so fast.
You're
like,
right. We're just like hype.
Yeah. Okay. Go on. Go on.
I'm like silly right now.
Same.
Okay. So I'm going to mix and match my peak and pit right now, but don't you worry, I will end on a high note. So on Sunday, I kind of just had a day to myself. I went to the park. It was so beautiful out. The trees were all different colors. It was beautiful. The sun was shining, but it was like a little cold. I was wearing a sweatshirt, my Docs. Like I was really feeling myself. I was listening to a podcast and I was having myself a really beautiful day. And then I came back and I finished a book and, you know, sounds lovely, right? But, basically what my anxiety does is if there's nothing else to worry about, then I will resort to something. Mm-hmm. So essentially the peak is that it was a really beautiful Sunday. And the pit is that I like instantly felt anxious at night because it was a lovely day, meaning the other shoe just had to drop.
Yeah.
Something had to go wrong. And to tie this all together, I then had therapy on Monday. And I was talking to her about it and she was like, it's really awesome that you've had this, you have this self-awareness. We ended up talking about things that are really triggering for me, like my most intense fears in life. And it was a really, really intense and scary session, but I felt better at the end of it. And I think it was just like a breakthrough for me because it was one of the first times I've done it before, but I don't do it that often, that like I'm feeling anxious and I'm able to instantly recognize you're only feeling anxious because things are going well. Mm-hmm. And like, I've felt that before, but like in order, like it was one of the first times I was able to like acknowledge it and then kind of move on.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of cool. And sorry if that was confusing, but just to like make it really simple, like on Sunday, because things were going well, there was no distraction to mm-hmm. like some of my deepest fears. So then all of a sudden I just become anxious about my deepest fears because everything else is like going seemingly well. So then my therapy session on a Monday was kind of tough, but ended up being really great and a breakthrough one. Sorry, that was long.
No, I actually know exactly what you mean. I think it sounds a little wild to some people, but like, I think we use anxiety as a crutch for
definitely.
Like dealing with even harder things. Like as weird as it may sound, like I think sometimes having anxiety about work or like something like that in your life is less scary than like having
yes
fear.
Yes.
Like if we're just like, well, I'm anxious about, you know, my job, like my performance review that's coming up, which by the way, like it's nervous to have, I mean, it's normal to have some level of nervousness with that, even a lot of nervousness, but it's like when you don't have that, it's like, what am I sort of?
100%. And I actually really appreciate you explaining that because I kind of said something that was could be complex and I kind of just like made it, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I kind of was just like, yeah, well, I was really anxious about like my deepest fears. Yes, I did that. But I think that, you know, if we were to draw this out a little bit longer, I would talk more about the fact that like I'm very comfortable with my anxiety. It's what I know. It's the state of
yeah.
being that I live in all the time. So one might say, well, why would you want to be stressed? Why would you want to be feeling this anxiety? It was kind of like an existential crisis a little bit, but that's because that's what I'm used to. So mm-hmm. I kind of just go into it when things are going well, because I'm not used to things feeling good.
Yeah, and just to do a little piggyback cartwheel off of Sarah, I actually, when I was like recovering from my eating disorder, I remember feeling like, wait, I don't know like who I am without this. And I think that anxiety is really similar because it's as uncomfortable as it is to have anxiety or to have an eating disorder, to like, you know, be dealing with trauma or grief. It's like really comfortable to do that because it's like, well, if I'm here, mm-hmm. it can't get worse, or, you know, like this is just who I am. Mm-hmm. But when you have to just sort of relinquish that sense of identity that you have tied to your anxiety or tied to whatever that is, it's like an even greater challenge because like, you know, anxiety.
Yeah.
You're like, I get this.
Yeah.
That sort of brings me, I guess, to my peak and pit. My pit was today, as we're recording, like I just have this very bad relationship with Tuesdays. It's actually part of the reason Sarah and I initially decided to release podcasts on Tuesdays, was because I just find them to be like the worst day of the week. And I say that kind of tongue in cheek, like it's sort of joking around, but it's also not. Like, I just find this to be such a bad day. Like Monday, you're still kind of like, you know, you still have like the weekend vibe, and plus it feels like everyone hates Mondays.
Mm-hmm.
So you have like that camaraderie, where I feel like Tuesday, it just feels like I'm looking at like big long week, and I don't know, it just is like, it's almost Pavlovian at this point. Like, it's like conditional.
Yeah.
Like, I wake up on Tuesday and like my body knows. And I have this, the thing about having the comorbidity of anxiety and depression is like,
you Liz can, with the words.
Thank you. It's the trauma. No, but when you have like those, you have both depression and anxiety. It's like the most paralyzing thing because you feel like you can't do anything, but you're also like so overwhelmed and it's just challenging. And you know, that's the pit. I mean, I sympathize and empathize with everyone who's also going through it. That's why we have this podcast. The peak was, oh, I know the peak. Me and my friends and Chris had dinner on Saturday and it just like was so fun.
I was like, who?
Yeah, no,
I was like, wait, I was there.
You were there. It just is like, I just feel this sense of,
oh my God, you really had so much fun?
I had so much fun and I just felt like it was the first night I had in a while in New York that I felt like normal, sort of.
Wait, oh my gosh.
Because we ate indoor, inside at a restaurant because that's allowed now.
Yeah.
You have
yeah,
to, like,
that was a first.
That was a first for us. And it just felt like, it felt like I've taken out of the past 6 months like what I needed to. And like, in other words, like I came out of this like tough time with a new perspective,
mm-hmm.
but have been able to return to some old things. So it's like seeing my life as it was before from like a brand new lens.
So interesting.
Which I know, by the way, is like not a universal experience right now. I know a lot of people are still like grappling with a lot
yeah.
of upheaval and challenges. And I'm sure that those challenges will come around again for me. But
yeah.
It was a nice experience to be like, oh, wow, like I remember this, but now I feel like I can enjoy it even more because mm-hmm. I've had like, you know, just some challenges over the past few months, as many people have. So anyway, it was
wow.
like a simple pleasure, but it was a good one.
It was nice. It is also really nice how like we appreciate things so much more now. I mean, at least I do. Like, eating inside, who would have ever thought that
yeah.
would be like such a crazy like blessing that we got on Saturday?
No, it was lovely.
It was really nice. I mean, we weren't like near other people. We were just, and as we've said before, like we are each other's designated COVID
buddies.
But it was really fun.
It was great. And I remember just thinking like, there's no way New York is ever gonna be like, I never thought I would go to a restaurant again
yeah.
in New York. And it was really nice too. And
yeah,
thankful for that.
That is another positive about, I mean, not positive, it's like another like good thing that's happened recently is that like there was a time where everyone was like, New York's dead.
Yeah.
Like, New York is done. And just like seeing New York slowly come back to life has been really, really nice.
I agree.
Obviously safely. But still, like, even just being able to like go outside and have things seem kind of normal again.
Yeah.
It's been really nice.
Really nice. So today we have a very, very special guest on, just like the most positive, bright
mm-hmm.
light. Her name is Alexis Wilkins. She is an Instagram blogger. She's a body positive advocate. Is that the right word?
Yeah.
Body positive advocate. She speaks so eloquently.
Mm-hmm.
She talks about her experience as a Black woman. She talks about how, you know, being Black intersects with mental health. That is something Sarah and I have committed ourselves to learning a little bit more about, and we want to help everyone do the same.
Yep.
So
I have actually never met Alexis in person.
Mm-hmm.
You have, right?
Yes.
So I've actually never met Alexis in person. But she is just like so sweet, and honestly, like, bright light is a great way to explain her. Like, we did like a video conference today, like we recorded the podcast via video call.
Yeah.
And she's just like the sweetest person, and she just exudes, positivity. And so, you know, really encourage following her and, keeping up with her.
Definitely. We hope you enjoy this conversation. We hope you learn something. So.
Yep.
Have fun.
Bye.
So Alexis, It's Fine, I'm Fine is all about mental health, but like from the perspective of people who are experiencing mental health issues, mental health experiences. We're not experts, and we wanted to just bring on more people to talk about experiences that we might not necessarily know about.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start with, tell us about your relationship with your mental health broadly. That can be over your entire life, over the, you know, the past several months with COVID-19. Like, what's your relationship with your mental health?
I would say I've been getting more in tune with it. I was over, even over my whole life. I remember the first time it was like I had just graduated from college, moved back home, and just like being in that space and like, all of like the craziness. Actually, even before that, it was like the semester before I graduated, I started experiencing a lot of hair loss. And it was just like because of stress, and I couldn't figure out what was going on. And then other things, factors played into play, came into play. And I was just like, this is so crazy. But then after graduation, just kind of being home and like that in between space between college and getting a job and what are you really doing with your life? I went to the doctor for like a checkout physical, and I was just like, everything seems okay. I'm like, I feel like I'm having a problem sleeping. Like I just feel super anxious. And he gave me a really terrible response because he was also my parents' doctor. And he was like, oh, if those were my parents, I'd be anxious too, which is terrible. But like at the age of 22, I didn't know like that's not okay to bring up anyone else's patient or parents or anything else. But I was kind of like, I have to think about that. I'm gonna stop going to him and get a new doctor. But just as I've gone through, over the years, particularly this year, just it's been really high highs and really low lows. And I feel like the highs are so much more amplified because you're craving them so much more than you in the past. Like I live a pretty, I'd say regular life, but like I'm really outgoing, extrovert, I'm always like social, out and about doing something. So to kind of be home and sitting with my own thoughts and my own feelings for months at a time, I haven't really had a chance to ever do that before. I've always kind of just like pushed to the side and keep going. But now in this year with like my job being in flux and like what's happening with that and the world kind of being an influx and all that's happening with that, I feel like it's definitely like amplified like these like feelings of anxiousness for me.
Totally.
I said a lot just now, but
No, it's all breakthrough. We also know that you are like very active on social media. So how did you get into that, and how has that impacted your mental health? Because like, social media can have a huge impact on our mental health. So like, did you feel that when you were starting to get in touch with your mental health, was like, was that helping you? Was it making it worse? Like, what's your relationship with it now?
I would say when I started my blog Living Alexis, I was in a bad place. I was in a relationship that was not good, and something like crazy had happened. I need an outlet outside of this person and the situation. What can I do? And I like always like loved fashion, and people were like, you should start a blog, you should start a blog. And I was like, okay, like I'm just gonna start a blog. So I just like went, found the Instagram, made the website, and just kind of went from there. And then the focus of the blog and my Instagram kind of has changed over the years since I've done it. It was supposed to be like more fashion, like body confidence content, and it kind of evolved into like more of like me and my lifestyle and whatever is going on in the world that I want to talk about and share that day. So it's definitely it helps me, particularly this year, because like I was saying before, like just being home and working from home and like being literally alone for days at a time, besides me and my cat, like talking to my Instagram people and my followers every morning is like a relief for me. And it feels like I'm talking like my friends, even though there's like no one really there. People respond back to me, obviously, but it feels like I have someone to talk to in a time where I had no one really to talk to. So, and I mean, I've had people, I haven't experienced like really truly with the trolls, thank goodness. People will say crazy things sometimes, but it's mostly truly like my friends and my family and like their judgment of it and like what it is to them, or if I'm dressed scantily clad, my mom's like, why are you posting a picture of yourself? Things like that. So, but the social media and the followers have been more of a help than a hindrance for sure.
I'm curious too, because I think you're such a positive resource for people, whether it's, people you've only met online or people who know you in real life. What are some of the resources that you go to, whether it relates to mental health or to discussions on race or to discussions about anything? Like, where are the who are the people that you turn to?
I mean, I don't think I have like a person or a page per se, kind of just like a plethora of like who it is. I like to get different perspectives. Like I always say, like I'm Black, but I can't speak for the full Black experience. Mm-hmm. Like, I was raised in a predominantly white area, went to predominantly white schools, have predominantly white close girlfriends, mm-hmm. In like my younger years. So I may not have the same experience as someone who, you know, was raised in like an urban area, or even raised in like a really, you know, country area where it was like you were only one. So it really depends. But for me, I mean, yeah, I like to have like a lot of different people that I kind of talk to and get different perspectives from, for if it's a Black person, a white person, whatever. I kind of run the gamut of who I'm listening to and talking to about that.
That's great. I think that's a great perspective too, especially because it's like we have this idea about who we can be as podcasters talking about mental health, but our experiences are like relatively singular. Mm-hmm. And I like what you said too about like how you feel you can speak for yourself and like speak as part of a community, but not like for the community as a whole. These conversations are pretty new to us.
Liz and I feel really strongly about the fact that like we want to have a mental health podcast and we want to like continue the conversation. But like, you know, as time goes on, we're like, we don't know, we can't speak to this. We can't speak to this. And, you know, we know that doesn't mean that we shouldn't speak about it. It means that right. to learn from people who have gone through different experiences than us. So like, you know, feel free to talk about whatever it is you're comfortable talking about. But we feel that there are holes in the mental health space. Like there's like gaps where maybe only certain people are talking about certain things, or maybe people are talking about things in a certain way. And it's just like, what kind of holes do you feel are missing in the mental health space?
Where are the gaps that you see, especially for like women of color? Because we don't necessarily understand that gap the way you might.
Right. I think for me, it was just almost like normalizing therapy. Particularly, I was raised in a really religious household, and I do turn to my religion and Christianity and God for my mental health in a lot of ways. Like every Sunday morning, I like to watch my mom, like my preacher, like, you know, to kind of get that headspace. Every Monday when I start my day, like my Spotify playlist is always like gospel worship music, just kind of put me in like a happy mood for the week. So no one like crosses me right off the bat. So if I start like that, that's kind of how I've turned. But I think on the flip side of that, because it's like, oh, like pray about it, go to God, like that is what is really preached and pushed in the Black community. It's way more than that. But in a lot of circles, it's just like, oh, like you should just pray about it, you'll feel better, you'll be fine. Like, no, if people have serious issues going on, they need to talk to someone outside of, you know, a reverend or even like a family member, then you should be seeking professional help for that. Which is not always a discussion that is had in the Black community, which is why I think so many, I mean, I had a really good friend of mine who committed suicide, and this was, this was years ago. I was like, right after I was fresh out of college, he was younger than me. He was still in college, like almost a senior year of college. My sister was like one of her good friends. It was just like, Roswell always seemed like he was such a happy go lucky person. Like, oh, Roswell's fine. He's fine. He's good. He's happy. He's go lucky. But there's obviously he had demons way deeper than any of us even realized at the time that he was trying to deal with. But in our circles, it was like, oh, he'll be fine. But like, no, it was way more than that. And I don't think it took that happening to kind of be like, whoa, this is deep. This is real. And we need to be talking about it and dealing with it in whatever ways that we can.
Right. It's unfortunate that like in life, it takes like events like that or like suicides for us to need to talk about mental health. I feel like that's like really common, but it's really interesting.
It sounds like there's a sort of like reluctance, which is, this is a broad issue, but there's like a sort of reluctance to acknowledge mental health as an issue because it feels so unknown that it's like, well, you know, in the past we've used our relationship with God, which Sarah and I too talk a lot about our spirituality. Like we use that to get us through hard times. But I think one of the reasons people stray away from talking about mental health is because it's so unknown and it's so internal that it can just be challenging to sort of get ourselves into those conversations. But
I'm going to say, I think it's also so personal, you know, it's just like, you know, you can go to a doctor. It's like, okay, you have this, like we can easily diagnose you with, you know, high blood pressure, diabetes, like we can see the symptoms. But with mental health, there's certain things are happening behind the scenes that it's so hard to be like, oh, this is what's going on.
Right.
And like you can be feeling all types of like literally crazy, but like no one can even see that or know that at all. You're just looking at you.
Yeah.
It's like until you get into the right hands to deal with that, you can go, you know, undiagnosed for years.
Totally. And as you were saying, like, it's so common for people who have maybe never experienced it, or maybe they have experienced it, but they've never spoken about it, to just be like, oh, you're fine, you're fine, you're fine. Like, personally, mm-hmm. When I first brought up anxiety to my own parents, they're like, you're just really stressed. Like, you
right.
know, just stop worrying. But like, if only it was that easy. And so it is important to talk about mental health in a way where it's like, well, this is actually real. Something is actually going on, as opposed mm-hmm. to like, you're just worried or you're just stressed, which is something that, no pun intended, but we want to like stress, because it's
right.
like,
right.
it's a real thing happening and it should be addressed. And it's not as simple as being like, you're fine.
Absolutely.
I also think too, Alexis, one of the first things you said when we started was talking about your doctor and like having a kind of weird experience there. And my only knowledge about this has just come from like trying to consume information about like Black women's experiences. And one of the things mm-hmm. I read that I honestly never considered was like feeling validated by healthcare workers, or like feeling validated mm-hmm. by doctors. And I think like, you know, that's just an additional barrier. Like you mentioned that it's hard in your family to sometimes talk about, or in your community to sometimes talk about mm-hmm. mental health, but to have that additional barrier of like wanting to make sure that you're feeling validated by the physicians that are caring for you, I think can present an additional challenge. Has that been something you've ever experienced or that you've talked to peers about?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't talked to peers, but like I said, that one experience really put me off. And I did go to a therapist one time, and it was just like, and it was actually, I purposely sought out a Black woman therapist that we could connect, you know, on that level. And it wasn't a good experience. And that's why I never went back. And again, that's not the good thing. Like, I just kind of like wrote it off, knowing like I went there for a reason. Like, I went and I signed up because I thought I needed to talk to someone about something, and because I felt uncomfortable. And that could be from what she was giving me. And also like, I wasn't fully ready to open up in that way and be vulnerable in that way with someone. Cause I feel like a lot of times, you know, it's a lot to tell ourselves. So it's just like, oh, like she was wrong. Cause I like, that can't be right. What she was saying to me, maybe she was totally right, but I just wasn't in the headspace to accept what she had to say to me at that point. Like, I'm like, am I really a pathological liar? I mean, maybe. But like, I was not ready for that. So I was like, okay, I'm done. We're good. Like, yeah. I'll keep moving. But I definitely do want to explore that again. Talk to my sister. She has a therapist she goes to, her different therapist they go to. My sister's doing like premarital therapy with her boyfriend right now. So I'm just like, you know, it definitely, I see the benefits of it. And people have to want to talk to. Sometimes like, on like the outside looking in, like still gather information before I take that leap, but I know I need to do that for myself.
I will say, I think it takes an enormous amount of self-awareness.
I was going to say the same thing.
To mm-hmm. like, to even say like, to even be self-aware enough to say like, oh, maybe the therapist said them. I'm not saying whether that's true or not.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
right.
Even to say the therapist may have said something true, but like at the time I didn't want to accept it or believe it. Like, that takes an enormous amount of self-awareness. So like, good for you. Like, that's really great.
Thank you. And this has like definitely developed over time. I was like, if you talk to 25-year-old Alexis when she said to me, I was like, oh, no, girl. Like, now looking back on it, I can definitely see what maybe she had. Maybe a 10.
It's like, what am I paying you for if you're just going to insult me?
Right.
I know exactly. I came here to be validated, girl.
Yeah, right? So it's like when people go to like marriage counseling, and they're like, I didn't come here for you to tell me what I'm doing wrong. I came here for you to tell me that he's the problem.
Exactly.
The problem.
Oh my God.
You know,
right they're now.
The problem, whatever. So that's really funny. How have you like taken care? This is like really a vague question, but like, what are some ways that you've taken care of yourself, especially over the last like few months or since COVID started? Like, there's just obviously a lot going on, and obviously there's a lot of change that's happened in our world and there's more change that needs to be done. But like, what are some ways that you put yourself first sometimes, or take care of your own in your own headspace?
I think for me, it was just taking this time to just be and be still and to not be going constantly and really reevaluating my circles and like who was in them and like reasons that why they were in them. Is it because it's like, oh, it's a, like your popular influencer I hang out with. We go to these parties and we kiki, like, okay. Or is like my true people, like my true friends who were calling me and FaceTiming me when it was like, you know, April, May, like what's going on here? Like, if I hear from you since then, like, bye. Like, it's just a serious, it's done. Like, I'll be nice to you or whatever. But like, you could just really I think this time really amplified like who is important to me and who is not and who I can, you know, go on without. So just taking that time to even like understand that has been self-care to me in a lot of ways. And I've also tried to like get out more and I've started like being outdoorsy, whatever I can be outdoorsy. So. My version is like, you know, a little hike in a cute outfit over Instagram picture, but like that feels good to me. Like I feel like I just went to get outside. There was a park by my house. Like I literally walked by for years on my way back from work and I never ever sat there or walked there until like COVID times, which was so crazy. It was like, how did you like have this beautiful little oasis in the middle of the city that you never even took advantage of? But like, then I was like, oh, I need it. Like it was like days where I have to go outside. I have to be out there and sit headphones on, read a book, and just like be in nature for a couple minutes. It's not these four walls in my apartment. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. I think also one of the things that I've learned in COVID is like you can't pour from an empty cup. Mm. And I think there's so much that's required of all of us right now on social media and in real life, just as it relates to having these tough conversations, whether it's about mental health, it's about the pandemic, or it's about like coming to terms with our racial history in this country. And like, I want to know how you are able to sort of, like Sarah mentioned, putting yourself first, but it's such a fine line because like you want to put yourself first, but you also want to fight for like equality and like help your friends, help your community, help people understand what maybe you've been going through, what your community has been going through for so long. How is it that you are able to, or how are you sort of dealing with trying to remain active in the fight for equality while also making sure that like you're not pouring from an empty cup?
For sure. It was the week that George Floyd was murdered and it was just like so much, like so many emotions. Like it was just like I felt like so tired and defeated, like here we are yet again having these conversations. But then in another way, it felt different than the times before this. Like it felt like there was more eyes on the situation than ever before. So because of that, I felt like, okay, I need to be using my voice any way that I can. But it was like by the end of that week, I legit was like, I'm deleting Facebook and Instagram for like the weekend. And I was like, okay, maybe just Facebook because like Instagram, I had tapped in the check. But like, I was like, no, like I have to leave this app. Like, I cannot be looking at this craziness that I'm like, people are saying the craziest stuff to each other. And I'm just like, I cannot. Like, I need to just remove myself for a little bit just so I can kind of come back recharged. And I'm never gonna like get in a fight with someone on Facebook, but that's not just not my MO. But for me, by using my voice and speaking up, that felt like it was like therapy to me. Mm-hmm. So like people are like, oh, I don't wanna bother you or I hate asking. I'm like, no, like ask me, bother me. Cause I feel like for so long, people weren't having the conversations and were just, you know, thinking a certain way. But if I can be, you know, what's the word we're looking for? Like a help to someone who's seeking that knowledge. And of course I'm going to answer and be there for that person.
Totally. Yeah. I was going to say like, you know, I think that obviously George Floyd being murdered was what kind of kickstarted a lot of people into talking and thinking about equality and the unfairness of race relations in this country. But obviously it started way before that. And so, you know, Liz and I, well, we can only imagine, but there comes a level, like for the Black community, there's a level of exhaustion that comes with that because it's like, finally people are waking up to it. So on one hand, it can be, and I don't want to speak out of turn, but like on one hand, it might be a little like, okay, yeah, this is good. But on another hand, it's kind of like, well, where have you all been?
Right.
So,
I was like, for me, I was very, I said the word like cautiously optimistic. Mm-hmm. It was just like, okay, like I'm so glad that we're having these conversations, but I'm even more glad that here we're talking about it, you know, 6 months later.
Yeah.
Where that was my fear, was going to be like, oh, when it's trendy or cool to post a black box or, you know, amplify melanated voices. Sure. Great. Yeah. I'm going to gain 400 followers in a week because people are like, let me follow this black person. Like, okay, I'm over here then. But are you going to still be here, you know, weeks from now, months from now, years from now? Like, and that was the real test. So like I said, I'm so glad that I feel like it's still, work is being done by so many still, not everybody, but you know, most,
yeah,
like most people. And that was like, what makes me so happy. And I was like, it kind of like just reinvigorated even like my use of social media on my platform. Mm-hmm. I was like, I was feeling so like black between like COVID. I'm just like, why am I even doing this? Like, I have not taken any like new pictures or content. I'm just like, I'm not posting anything that's like kind of like in that type of fashion influencer space anymore this year, really. But then when this happened, I was like, oh, look, this is a whole other way I can use my platform. I have access to all these people every single day that listen to me ramble. Like, why not use it?
Yeah.
To like for that good.
I think that's amazing. And I think, you know,
we think that's amazing. I think so too.
Like these conversations need to be sustainable. Like they need, this is not a moment. It's a movement, as they say.
Right. Absolutely.
And we're just like, I feel so lucky to have been able to follow you on Instagram, because I think while you're educating and talking to so many people about these issues, you're also just like such a positive follow and like such a bright light. And I think that's something that we all need. Like there's so much darkness, and sometimes there needs to be that. There needs to be that pain in order to like get movement. But also people just become very exhausted with sadness. It's like what you said about having to turn your phone off. It's like you feel guilty because you want to be part of these conversations, but you're also just like, there's only so much a person can take of this.
Right.
So I admire you talking about that, like turning it off for a little while was beneficial for you. And I think that that's something a lot more people need to do.
Yeah. One of my best friends, she is, she's a podcast, and she like, she's studying like this, psychology and how it affects like social media affect your psychology and your mental health. Mm-hmm. And she's like going back to get a master's to like study that even more. Okay. But she has instituted no social Sundays. Mm-hmm. Like just one day a week where she's just like, no social media. Like I'll see y'all on Monday. And it's helped her so much. And I'm like, I feel like I like always like want to try. I'm like, oh, let me just need like a couple hours. You know, I have to like dip my toe in this pool because it is very addictive to just be on there constantly, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But I see how much it helps her. So I'm like, I mean, definitely something to it. Definitely. I did it for like that one day or 2 days. So it is possible.
Yeah. And it's definitely a balance. Like I think, you know, throughout COVID, at least personally for me, I've gone through such waves with social media. Like,
right.
For example, when COVID started, I was like really, really into it. And then all of a sudden I was like, okay, I'm kind of tired. I don't really know. Like, it just feels like there's a lot of anxiety. And then what happened to George Floyd happened. And mm-hmm. For me personally, like as a white person, I like it motivated me more than ever because I was like, oh shit. Like I actually have a lot more learning to do than I thought, you know?
Right.
So that was great personally. But then, you know, after months have passed, then I'm kind of like, okay, maybe I need another break from social. So I feel like social media is kind of like a wave.
Yeah.
It's just like, like, I think some people are like, no, I'm just going to like delete my Instagram. And then other people are like, I'm obsessed. I'm going to use it all day, every day. But I feel like, I mean, I'm not an expert on any of this, but like, like personally for me, what helps is like, I actually just go through waves. And same with like TikTok, Snapchat, especially TikTok.
Right.
Like periods where I'm just on TikTok, like all day, every day. Like it really helps for me to just like, I'll go through spurts where I'm on it 24/7. And then I'll go through a couple days where like, I just don't look at it that much, but
right.
You know, that's just like what works for me personally, but I don't know.
I know. I never got really big into TikTok. I got it during like the beginning of COVID. I made like 2 TikToks. Now, like if I start watching it, like I can keep watching it, but I'm also just like, I don't know. I'm an older millennial. So maybe that's why.
No, we both love TikTok. And I'll say like, you can find anything that you could possibly want, which is why it's dangerous because it's like, I also was the same where I was like, I didn't really get into Charli D'Amelio. Like, I don't like that. But then I realized there was like mental health TikTok and I was like, okay, I'm game.
Yeah. I mean, I was deep in Hamilton TikTok. for like, what was that? July? Yeah.
July.
So I was like, everyone, I was like, yep, I haven't seen this one. Yep. Keep it coming. So,
Well, Alexis, this has been so great. I don't know if Sarah has any additional questions. I have one more for you. Yeah. I sort of asked you toward the beginning about resources that you like to follow. I do want to take one chance to ask you, like, if you could tell people listening to this a piece of advice or something, a piece of wisdom that's gotten you through tough times or that's just been a mantra or helpful to you, what would be something that you might tell them? And feel free to take your time on this. I know I put you on the spot.
I would just say that, like, I want to say this. Like, just always believe in yourself. Like, I just feel like a lot of times, particularly for me, like, even, like, being, like, body confident and being body positive, it's just been, like, it's so easy to just not be. And I would say it's a journey for me, particularly. Like, I have screens where I'm like, bitch, you are hot. And then I'm like, ew. So it really goes back and forth. Like, if I just believe in myself and, like, you know, that times will get better and I will get better, like, that really keeps me going. So believe in yourself.
That's beautiful.
I'm going to take that with me for my advice.
Me too. I was going to say, can you plug yourself? Can you tell people
say that
where to find you, what you do, and just take the chance to promote yourself, please?
Yes.
Sure. So Instagram, it's @living_Alexis. That's like my main page. I also have an event and wedding planning business at Alexis Wilkins Events. My blog is livingalexis.com, which needs to be, you know, updated, but there's some stuff on there from the past you could definitely read. And yeah, if you want to email me, you want to chat, you want to talk, it's alexis@livingalexis.com.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah.
I just want to say one thing. Like, Liz has always hyped you up, but I've never really spoken to you before. And, like, I just get it. You're just like a ball of
thank you.
And, like, you're such a bright light. I'm just, like, so happy that we got the chance to speak to you.
I feel the same way about you guys. I was saying, this is my little sister, like my Instagram little sister, her and Alana. So I was just like, yes, like whatever you guys need, I'm here for you. I will literally fight for you if I need to.
We love you. So Alana also told me to tell you hello. She said she's sorry. Oh my gosh. Can't be here.
Hi.
I will. Alexis, thank you so much. You. Everyone go follow Alexis. Go see what she's up to. She's just made my mental health better, to be honest.
Same.
Oh, I'm so glad. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
We love you. Thank you.
Bye.
That was Alexis.
Just divine. That's our new word, by the way.
It is?
Yeah. Well,
you and Alana.
Yeah.
Clicky. Do you like how I said that to you?
No, it like actually made me laugh. You can use it too if you want, I guess.
I can use what? Divine?
Divine.
Well, like, I would hope so. We're a friend group. Clicky.
Clicky.
But, like, I'm in it too.
Yeah, okay. That's what you like to think.
Don't, like, bring out my triggers.
Sorry. Guys, I'm sorry. You have to joke about it to get through it.
Sure. Okay. On a real note, we want to thank Alexis again for coming on to the podcast. As you could tell, she is an amazing person and we're really feeling blessed that she came on. That sounded sarcastic, but it was 100%.
No. Yeah. We genuinely feel like her presence was very, very important.
Like, Liz and I are kind of in, like, really silly, fun moods right now. And I feel like it's because like, we just, like, had fun talking to Alexis and now we're just like, what?
No, I agree.
Oh, what were you going to say?
No, I completely agree. I think it's because Alexis, like, is able to have these really deep conversations while also, like, keeping things light. Like, she made me laugh a lot.
Yeah.
Which same. I think was great.
Same.
Okay. So, yeah, for social media, you can follow our podcast page at It's Fine I'm Fine Pod on Instagram, at It's Fine I'm Fine PD on Twitter. You can follow me on Instagram at Liz Height. Where can people find you, Sarah?
You can follow me at Sarah L. Sassone on Instagram and TikTok. And, pretty much it. Love you all. I'm like, special shout out Brianne. Just kidding. No, love you all.
We love you all. Thank you so much for listening and be well.
And with that, it's fine. I'm fine.
It's fine. I'm fine.
Bye.